All right, the Raptors have hit their All-Star break. 7 wins in a row. They're now 2 games up on Boston, top spot in the East. They're 24-4 at home. They're on fire. They're deep. They got the best bench in the East. DeMar and Kyle are both at the All-Star game. Their coaching staff is at the All-Star game. And I think people are loving what they're seeing up here in Toronto. But to get a read on what people are thinking throughout the NBA, we're joined now by Brian Windhorst from ESPN. What's happening, Brian?
You know, it's All-Star weekend in L.A. Everybody says they're having fun, but actually nobody is.
Really? Is that possible to not have fun in L.A.?
You know, it's one of those things where it's you know, oh, you're going to go to this party, you're going to go to this party. It's just, you know, it's average hors d'oeuvres, a lot of standing in line, and a lot of people on their phones, Instagramming, trying to make everybody else feel jealous. But there's really, other than better weather, there's really nothing that you're missing out on.
Is there a lot of players in the league that aren't involved in the game that just, like, that's their weekend too, they just have to go?
Well, there's a lot of promotional stuff out here. You know, even players who have, you know, scant promotional ties, they definitely do that. If the All-Star game is in a place that's maybe not as desirable, it won't be as much. But in L.A., I mean, a lot of the players come to L.A. on their breaks anyway. So I would imagine probably about half the league will be in L.A. over the next week.
Half the league is going to be out there. How exhausting is the LeBron being courted by L.A. conversation going to be?
You know, I don't think it's going to be too bad because I don't think that the Lakers are in that good of a place right now. You know, the other thing is LeBron shuts it down. Like, you know, he's been through this a couple of times. If he were to leave little chestnuts or open little doors, I think it would be more interesting. You know, he has really not done that, and he's really tried to focus on the season. And, you know, there's so much drama around the Cavs on a regular basis that talking about his free agency in a weird way is kind of a little bit refreshing because at least it's another controversy as opposed to what he's been dealing with day in and day out.
We have Brian Windhorst from ESPN. As for the Cavs, they made so much news and there was so much turnover a week ago leading up to the trade deadline, and they go into Boston and win big, and then Oklahoma City and win big, and all of a sudden they're back to being on even ground with Golden State. They're such a great team. It's spectacular what's happening there. And I knew these reactions were coming, and it's in large part because of LeBron, and he looks rejuvenated. But how good are they? Like, how much better did they really get with these deals?
I don't know. I mean, I will say that the players that they brought in are players that prototypically fit with LeBron. I mean, they have an athletic big man. He, ever since Anderson Varejao, I mean, he got to the league or to the finals the first time, you know, playing pick and roll with Anderson Varejao. Not that he's not much of an athlete, but he has great feet. He was able to move really well. You know, he was with an athletic big man in Chris Bosh and even Tristan Thompson. You know, not a skilled player, but certainly an athletic big man. You put Larry Nance around him, he's going to look good. You know, he's always been good with spot-up shooters. So Rodney Hood, Jordan Clarkson are going to look good next to him. Are they good enough to take 4 out of 7 when they absolutely have to have it against a high-level team? I mean, you can get opinions from a lot of different people, but I don't think right now anybody knows for sure.
Well, and the same thing in terms of uncertainty when it comes to the Raptors and what they're going to do come playoff time. And I think they're going to end up with the top seed. They're on fire during the regular season. They're almost unbeatable at home. And they've taken care of a lot of the most difficult part of the schedule. They don't play Golden State again. They don't play Houston. But really, the conversation has become deeper and deeper about how the bench is going to factor in, how this new style is going to factor in. And I found it interesting what Shaq said on ESPN earlier, where he just focused on DeMar and Lowry, and he said, based on their history in the playoffs, which is not very good, he's not a believer. And I really do think that's where the conversation has to begin and maybe end, is what we expect out of DeMar and Lowry. It's great that Fred VanVleet and DeLon Wright are playing well in Siakam, but in your opinion, Brian, does it really revolve around DeMar and Lowry elevating their game in the playoffs to truly move on to that next step?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's fair for everybody in Toronto to say this team is different now, that their style is different, what Kyle does is different. That's all true. You look at their bench, and they're able to not overtax those guys. So in theory, when they get into a second or third round series, that they'll have more energy. And I do believe that stuff matters. But when you talk to people in the league, they have the same thing. You know, they say, hey, you know, the Raptors have not overachieved in the playoffs last year. And listen, I covered every game of that Wizards series a few years ago. I was there for the Cavs series the last 2 years. I have seen the Raptors at their worst in the postseason. So, you know, I have been there on the ground watching it happen. I was also there the day they beat the Heat in Game 7 when they advanced. So, I've seen a lot of Raptors playoff basketball in person. And so I understand how people say that instead Kyle just he doesn't play as well day in and day out in the playoffs historically as he has in the regular season. Now, the other thing about the bench, as good as the bench is, in the playoffs, benches are shortened. So the great depth that the Raptors have, it becomes a little bit mitigated in the postseason because you're generally only playing with eight guys. And so it's not as much of an advantage. So these are reasons why people look at Toronto with a little bit of a cross eye. The other thing is they haven't been dominating at home in the playoffs. I mean, even though the crowd is awesome, for some reason, the Raptors haven't been able to translate that all the time. So it's not a feared place to go play, even though it's an awesome environment. So they can change all that, though. They can undo all that and change the entire narrative and change the way people look at them with a great 6 weeks here in the spring. But they have to do it. And because they haven't, they are going to be short when it comes to respect at this point.
So with all that being said, Brian, and everything that's happened with the Cavs, everything now happening in Boston, has your opinion of how the East is going to play out changed at all, or is it still the same as it was on day one?
Well, I'm very interested in the Raptors. I still think that the Wizards are an extraordinarily talented team, and I think that potential second-round series, Toronto, you know, it might be Milwaukee versus Washington in the first round, but that second round series potential, Washington, Toronto, that could be a war for a number of different reasons. I still think the Wizards are dangerous. I am very interested in what the Raptors are doing. They have two games left with Cleveland. Both games are in Cleveland, so they don't get to have their home court advantage. And I know they whipped them last time they were there, but that game now kind of feels meaningless because of the changes to the Cavs. Celtics have some flaws. They're not offensively talented enough, and I think ultimately they're going to have a tough time scoring enough to win under absolute pressure. But if Toronto has home court and can defend it against the Cavs, I don't know. I just want to see. I'd like to see how these two matchups go. I'm definitely keeping an eye on the Raptors. I'm definitely respecting what they're doing. But I'm also with everybody else. When it comes down to it, I'm not going to really bet against a healthy LeBron James.
As for health, Chris Bosh was doing a media tour earlier today, and he left the door open to a return. Are you buying that? What's your read on Chris Bosh and his status, Brian?
Yeah, I don't think so. I don't know what Chris's health status is. Okay, I mean, I'm not a doctor. I don't have his health records, et cetera, et cetera. But I do know this: for him to go back to the NBA, he has to pass a board, a panel, I think it is, of doctors. I think it's three doctors, and they've got to, I think, agree 2-1 or vote 2-1. So he's got to pass that. Then he would have to have a doctor from an NBA team put his name on a piece of paper that says, if something happens to Chris Bosh, you can hold me liable. I do not think those two things will happen. So I respect Chris. I wish him the best. I hope the best for him. He looks great. He looks like he could play in the NBA right now. I have no doubt about that. But the medical hurdles are probably too high for him to cross.
Always appreciate you doing this. Thank you, Brian.
Thank you. Take care.
There's Brian Windhorst from ESPN. Chris Bosh coming back would be a great story, but...
Wasn't it blood clots with him, too?
Yeah, like, really, like, life-threatening, clearly. I mean, blood clots, but to the point where he was hospitalized.
I know you gotta drive, and you want to play your sport, and... But if it's that serious, man, just ride off and see you later.
Won two titles in Miami. Went to four NBA finals.
But I will say this. I played with Gary Roberts. He came back, and he had second opinions, and... I think the story was... Like, we traded for this guy. We traded Steve Chason. No, we traded for Steve Chason and Gary Roberts. And we traded Trevor Kidd and Andrew Castles, and he got there. And I think the doctor in Carolina said, I'm not passing this guy. I think he was told, you're passing him, and he's playing.
And he played for a long time after that.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'll go through his hockey DB when he got to Carolina.
It's 97.
And I think he played until 07 or 08.
Mm-hmm. 09.
09?
Well, 08, 09 season. Did he finish that year? I can't remember.
I don't remember. But, yeah, Gary Roberts had a great run after the serious medical scare that he had. So we'll see with Chris Bosch. People are pointing out that the Raps still have Houston at home in March. So they still have that game and a couple games left in Cleveland. But they're really playing well. And the truth is, it doesn't matter what anyone says, what any of the takes are. They have to prove it in the playoffs, if and when they play Cleveland, that they can beat LeBron. Like, it's always been that. You know, you can't expect to get any respect or have people touting your success when you haven't had any against LeBron, and he's owned you the past couple years. And then even if they get past that, they're going to get to the NBA Finals, and guess what? They're going to have to prove that they can win a game, let alone win the series against Golden State.